You know, I tell you what, the devil don't want this word out. You know how bad the devil don't want the word out? I got this word in 06, and that's the day Miss Frieda got sick and we had to take her to the hospital. And then the next 2 years, we haven't kept Hanukkah here. We went to Bill Clouds. But, you know, this is a very, very important holy day, y'all. You know, we go to Leviticus 23 all the time for the holy days of God, and we go through them all, we keep them all, we've done them all, we love them all. This one's not listed because God did not give this when he gave the law on Mount Sinai. This was one of those things that came later to show additional revelation. Now, over past years, we've talked about rededicating ourselves to the Lord because it's called the Feast of Dedication in John, because they were rededicating the temple after it had been messed up. We have talked about the new heaven, the promise of the new heavens and new earth, because you see, amen, the last great day stops at the resurrection of the rest of the dead. There's still the new heavens and the new earth. That's where Hanukkah comes in. Hey! And we have talked about the rest of humankind being transformed into spirit beings, okay? Praise God, when he comes back with the trumpet, we get changed, but the rest of the people living don't get changed until the whole thing is up, and that's Hanukkah. Now, you stop and think about that. Before we go any further, could I get Miss Sandy to come up here and light the Hanukkah menorah for us? Because this is a very, very important holy day. You understand what this day represents, right? How, you know, Hanukkah started last Sunday night at sundown. This represents how the menorah in the temple burns supernaturally for 8 days. Go ahead, do the blessing. I have eight. Oh, no, let's go ahead and light them all. It's only day six. Miss Sandy. Those on CD, this isn't wanting to light very well. A couple of these candles are having difficulties. They got issues. Today we're going to talk about a revelation from the Lord on the fulfillment of this day and how vitally important this season is for you. Now, I want you to think about something for a minute before I get into this. Oil represents the Holy Spirit. Amen? They had enough oil to light the menorah for one day, yet it burned for eight until new oil could be dedicated, consecrated, purified, and made holy to the Lord. Think about that for a minute. Instead of a menorah with seven, we have the Hanukkah up here, which has nine lights on it. If that's not a symbol of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I don't know what could be. Because there are nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, and there they are on the Hanukkah. This is the season of the blessing on the oil! Come on, y'all. This is Holy Ghost baptism season. It's kept for all 8 days. And you know it's kept by eating oily foods. Hey, come on, somebody. Hey, we're in the South. If that don't make y'all happy, I don't know where it's going to work. Man, come on. There's Atlanta Fried Chicken in this place. I'm going to read from you briefly from this Living Emblems book on page 126 about Hanukkah. If somebody would fetch my glasses out of that case back there. It would really be cool. on the case, the metal cabinet with my prayer book and stuff. In Hasmonean times, the city of Jerusalem and the Jewish people had fallen victim to a Hellenist zealot, Antiochus the Fourth, the Seleucid king, who styled himself Epiphanes, which means God manifest. This guy was deluded and thought he was God. Thank you, sir. And so this guy comes to power, and he fights back and forth with the Greek kings of Egypt, known as the Ptolemies. So they fight back and forth. Matter of fact, you can go to Daniel chapter 11, and you can see the fighting that takes place between these two families of former generals of Alexander the Great. The king of the south in Egypt, the Ptolemies, and the king of the north, the Seleucids. They fight back and forth. This is absolute proof of the veracity and the accuracy of your Bible. If anybody says, well, how do you know the Bible's real? It's written by 400 different writers and all the ancients. Hey, you go to Daniel, and everything spoken by the prophet Daniel came to pass exactly as it is written, all the way up until the future fulfillment that has not happened yet. Now, his subjects called this man Epimanes, which means madman. So this guy's walking around Epiphanes, I am God made manifest, and his subjects are all calling him a crazy man. Epimanes. Antiochus first appeared at Jerusalem as a seeming deliverer, releasing the Jews from the power of the Ptolemies of Egypt. Within a short time, however, his passion to enforce the civilization of Hellenism upon his subjects was directed at Judea. Enlisting the support of some of the secularist and quasi-religious aristocracy of the biblical land, he stationed a garrison in Jerusalem and began an effort to syncretize Hellenism with the worship of God. In other words, we're going to make you just like us. You can put Jewish names on our Greek stuff, but it's all the same to us. Y'all not getting this. We're in the season of the paganism, and they put Christian names on all this pagan stuff and call it Christ Mass, and we're all supposed to get in here and join them. Oh, let's put Christ back in Christmas. You can't put Christ somewhere he ain't never been. He ain't never been in Christmas, and he ain't going. Get a team of mules if you want to, if you think they can really pull him in there. Come on, somebody. Everybody, look, I understand that it's the enemies of Christianity that are fighting us over this, but I still can't give you no quarter for Christmas because it's wrong. It's secularized, Hellenistic, syncretized manure. Now look, I'm an open-spoken pastor, but this is going on the internet. If it wasn't, I might have let it rip. Look, I can't be one of those nice pastor man folks for y'all. I'm sorry. It just ain't in me. I can't make it happen. I can't hold my hands the right way, and I can't get the right, angle on my eyebrows, I'm just a good old Southern boy. I was born in Memphis. I came out of the womb with a license to tell it straight the way it is, and sometimes it ain't always polite and pretty. Come on, y'all. I'm not the one that made that mess out there. I might have if I wasn't saved, but I didn't make that mess, so I don't have to call it nice things. Because it is an abomination to God Almighty. It makes Yeshua madder than a hornet. And they're lucky they're all still walking out there and breathing today. After all that nonsense. Come on, let's get right. When this was not received by the populace, meaning faithful Judah wasn't buying and they wasn't going. They didn't want to hear all that. Look, these are the people that came out of the exile. They'd already had their butt whooped for this kind of mess, and they wasn't going to do it again. Think about it for a minute. People like to talk about how the modern Judaism is wrong because they came out of Babylon. Now, we've read to you several times how God said that in these United States, when He brings the coming problems and the coming plagues and the coming punishments, if Noah, Daniel, or Job were in the land, they'd bring out neither sons nor daughters, but escape only with their life. How can you be talking junk against my boy Daniel that set all this stuff up? Daniel, Meshach, Abednego, Ezra, Nehemiah, these are the guys that set this stuff up. How can you be talking junk against those guys because they came out of Babylon? When they were in Babylon, they got their act together. They got the act together. So don't be talking junk about, oh, it came out of Babylon, it's all wrong. No, it's not. Look who you're talking about. Hey, God said Daniel would bring out neither sons nor... How can we talk junk against Daniel? Come on now, he's coming out, and a lot of us aren't. Amen? I'm not talking about us personally. I'm talking about us as in these United States. The policy escalated until the very temple was desecrated by the statue of Zeus, the king of the Greek pantheon of gods, was erected in the Holy of Holies, and the altar was defiled with the blood of a pig. Acts of sexual perversion and murder were also carried out in the sanctuary itself, so that all of God's Ten Commandments were fully violated. Finally, a contingent of guerrilla fighters headed by Judas the Maccabee succeeded in driving Antiochus from Jerusalem and Judea. The evil despot ultimately died, as Daniel 8:25 had predicted, quote, without hands, when he was consumed by a disease so horrible that his personal physicians could not bear to attend them. This went on in the very temple of the living God. And so the Jewish people had to reclaim this and reclean this. As a matter of fact, we're about to read where they didn't even bother trying to purify the altar that was desecrated with pig's blood. They just took it out of there and built a new one out of stones. They didn't even want to fool with that. Let's go to page 129 in here and read about the cleansing, because this is where this comes from. And let me tell you something. This has extreme prophetic implications for us, because we live in a day and time when we're about to witness the same things being repeated. Come on, somebody. Now I want to read you about Christians and Hanukkah. Since Jesus himself was present at the temple for the Hanukkah celebration, it is certainly appropriate for Christians to join with their Jewish brothers and sisters in commemorating the miracle that accompanied the rededication of the temple. It can serve as a time for Christians to reaffirm their commitment to the ethics of the Bible and to rededicate their lives and resources to the proposition that truth must be heralded around the world as a witness, as light dispels darkness. It is time to stand in solidarity with the international Jewish community, affirming that their religion will be defended with life and limb, just as it was by the Maccabees and their followers. It is a season for remembering that the faith of the Bible must not be compromised with the syncretism. In other words, this is a sign that we have to stand together with them, and that we are not going to let ourselves become polluted with the Sunday Christianity of this world that has taken in every evil and abominable thing into itself. We can't stand with them. Now look, I'm all for being nice to people, because I've learned the hard way. Look, when I got saved as an old worldwider, I was hard-cased. I'd jump in your face in a heartbeat over any of this stuff. How many folks did I win to the Lord? So let's be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We don't have to jump in their face with a sledgehammer and beat them about the head and shoulders. But on the other hand, when it comes to your personal conduct, there can be no compromise with sin. No compromise with a Christmas tree. A Hanukkah bush, nothing. There can be no compromise with the pagan things at all in your personal life. You've got to keep your walk pure. People give you a Christmas gift. What do you say? Thank you. No, thank you. Thank you very much. I really appreciate the love and the thought that you put into giving me this. However, you don't have to do that, because you know I don't keep Christmas. If they want to give you the gift, be gracious. Don't be buying no gifts back. Amen? Don't be buying no gifts back. Now look, you know, when I was a heathen, I took advantage of the mistletoe. Don't nobody be catching you with no mistletoe around now. All right? You can't mix the pure religion of God. This whole season for 8 days is showing you the wonders and the power of the Holy Ghost baptism that we share. And it's also showing you the wonder and power that a people of God somewhere have got to be willing to stand up on pain of death to defend a pure religion. Come on. This is the real deal. It is a season for remembering that the faith of the Bible must not be compromised with the syncretism of modern times, and must stand as a distinct display of absolute ethics that calls all men to bow before the presence of Almighty God and to observe His commandments. Hanukkah is an excellent time for Christians to affirm the right of the Jewish people to self-determination, free from political, economic, or religious coercion or intimidation, a right won on the ancient battlefield by the Maccabees. The church might use this occasion to remember its own Antiochus-like historical aberrations in forced baptisms, synagogue immolations, general terror and mayhem against Jewish men, women, and children. And it might purpose that similar non-Christian actions will never again be perpetuated against the Jewish people and Judaism. This whole world is turned against Judaism. I wish I'd kept an editorial by Bill Kristol that appeared last year asking what the problem is in the world. He says that they don't like Judaism. We can never, ever, ever, ever tolerate that opinion among ourselves. These people are awesome folks. They're great people. Their religion is pure, truthful, and holy. Just because they don't believe everything we believe does not mean that there's anything wrong with them. Too many of us have adopted pagan practices in our lives. Come on, we all came out of the world. We all know that we were doing that mess. That's why you have mercy on people in it without compromising. You got to have mercy because, you see, it's by the grace of Yeshua Messiah that we know the truth. He could have left us in ignorance. You know, we didn't do anything to deserve coming out of there. But by His grace, He chose us to be the heralds of the truth. Now, that means we've got to do it with some wisdom. We've got to do it with some mercy and some tact. That doesn't mean compromise. It doesn't mean you go to Christmas celebrations. Look, I've been invited to dinner at my family's house for Christmas because, quote, everybody's off. Okay, I'm cool. As long as they don't force Christmas on me when I go to dinner, everything's cool. But you force Christmas on me, I'm out of here because I'm not doing that. So there's a fine line. Let me ask you a question. As you work this out through the years, are you going to make mistakes? You bet. Are you going to be too lenient one year and too hard the next? You bet. But it's through that process of working it out that we finally learn to come into balance of how to witness the truth without being offensive. Now look, if the truth is offensive, too bad, so sad. But now if we're offensive with the truth, we have to give account. So I just want to point out some balance there because balance is important. And someone's got to tell me times I did not set my clock. Now, there's an ancient spirit alive that is always trying to destroy the Jewish people. There's an ancient spirit alive that's always trying to destroy the Jewish people. That spirit is not dead and that spirit is not gone. That spirit is alive and well on planet Earth to this day. Why does that spirit hate the Jewish people so badly? Because they're willing to lay down their lives for the truth of God. And because they did, you have a holy Bible in your hands. Because they did, you know that you can trust the Torah. Do you know your Torah matches up with the Torah and the Dead Sea Scrolls? Did you know that? That's how well they've kept it. You can trust the Holy Bible because they were willing to lay their lives down through pogroms, through persecutions, inflicted many times by Christians. We tried our best. I say our. I don't say our as in the Sabbath-keeping churches because we gave you the history of the true religion. We laid our lives down alongside theirs for 1,260 years, the same as they did. Amen. We were persecuted. As a matter of fact, they had a little more against us because they called us Judaizers and they had a little more pleasure taking us down because they thought we were perverting the Christian faith when just the opposite was true. But as far as worldwide Christendom did their best to persecute and torture the Jews out of their religion. And praise God, they held strong. Praise God, they never gave up or else the whole thing would have been lost. It's prophetic that the week I wrote this, the week God gave me this right here, Iran held an anti-Holocaust seminar trying to show that the Holocaust did not exist. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing how many people hate Judaism. You see it coming up all over the world. You see, it's not just the Muslims. The Muslims are easily having an easy time recruiting other people in this anti-Jewish, anti-Judaism coalition that they're putting together. We owe the Jewish people a staggering debt of gratitude. Staggering debt of gratitude. You know, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, tried to destroy the Jewish people and the entire Israelite nation. You know, the Assyrians afflicted so much harm on them trying to destroy them that 10 tribes were carried away and lost to history. The Persians tried to destroy them. Think about Haman and Purim, the story of Purim. You know, Iran or Persia has a new Haman over them right now, who's wholly dedicated to destroy the Jewish people. Wholly dedicated to destroy them. Did you know that Palestinian maps show Palestine as the entire land area? They don't show an Israel and a Palestine. They show it all as Palestine. And I have so many Messianic friends who've missed a very important truth in this, and they get so mad over the Israeli authorities and the Bush administration. Oh, Bush is making them give up their land. No. Let me explain something to you. The reason the Palestinian maps show the whole thing is Palestine is because the Palestinians do not want a two-state solution. Do you know why? Because they will outnumber the Jewish people in Israel in a few short years. And if the whole thing is included as Israel, Gaza, West Bank, it's all Israel, they'll be able to vote them out and make it a Muslim theocracy. They don't want a two-state solution. They want a one-state Muslim state. The Jewish people, of their own accord and brilliance, decided to wall the Palestinians off so we can remain, keep Israel as a Jewish state. Man, that's gotta happen. That's gotta happen. Don't send me no more wild emails about how the Israeli government is committing some great abomination by pulling settlers out of the wrong side of the wall. No, another Jewish settlement, I guess, got emptied a couple weeks ago. You wouldn't believe the emails I got talking about this. Look, they gotta pull the Jewish people back on the Israeli side of the wall and keep the Palestinians on the Palestinian side of the wall. They've already drawn the boundary lines. And of course these people say, Bush has already given away the land. Let me tell you something. If they don't get those terrorists on the other side of that wall, they're gonna be able to outvote them in a few years. They're breeding 10 and 12 to a family. And once they can outvote them, it's over, y'all. These people aren't stupid. They're not doing this because they're blind. They're doing this because they have to. They have to wall the Palestinians off and make them their own state. Otherwise, they're subject to the United Nations coming in and partitioning the country for them. You didn't think about that, did you? See, neither did all the people I get these emails from. They're not thinking it out. They're just reacting. You don't want to be in a situation to react emotionally, because that's what Antiochus put the people in a situation to do. React emotionally. Do you realize that the zealots that formed around the Maccabees were less than 10% of the population? Everybody else went along. You can't go along. Let me go into Josephus. Page 257. When Antiochus, returning out of Egypt for fear of the Romans, made an expedition against the city of Jerusalem, and when he was there in the 143rd year of the kingdom of the Seleucidae, he took the city without fighting, those of his own party opening the gates to him. There were Jewish people ready to compromise. They opened the gates and let him in. They wanted to be Hellenistic. And when he got in possession of Jerusalem, he slew many of the opposite party. In other words, the people that wanted to stand true to the God of Israel, he killed a lot of them. And when he plundered it of a great deal of money, he returned to Antioch. Now it came to pass after 2 years, in the 145th year, on the 25th day of the month, which is called by us Kislew, and by the Macedonians Apelles, in the 153rd Olympiad, that the king came up to Jerusalem, and pretending peace, he got possession of the city by treachery. Exactly what Daniel is going to tell us. At which time he spared not so much as those that admitted him into it on account of the riches that lay in the temple. But led by his covetous inclination, for he saw that there was in it a great deal of gold and many ornaments that had been dedicated to it of very great value. In order to plunder its wealth, he ventured to break the league he made. So he left the temple bare and took away the golden menorah, the golden altar of incense, the table of showbread, and the altar. And he did not abstain even from the veils, which were made of fine linen and scarlet. He also emptied it of its secret treasures and left nothing at all remaining, and by this means cast the Jews into great lamentation, for he bade them to offer the daily sacrifice. Don't you remember that from Daniel? the abomination it takes makes desolate, and the removing of the daily sacrifice. And when he had pillaged the whole city, some of the inhabitants he slew, and some he carried captive, together with their wives and children, so that the multitude of those captives were taken alive, amounted to 10,000 people. He also burnt down the finest buildings, and when he had overthrown the city walls, he built a citadel in the lower part of the city, for the place was high and overlooked the temple, on which account he fortified it with high walls and towers and put into it a garrison of the Macedonians. However, in that citadel dwelt the impious and wicked part of the Jewish multitude, from whom it proved that the citizens suffered many and sore calamities. And when the king had built an idol altar upon God's altar, he slew swine upon it, and so offered a sacrifice, neither according to the law nor the Jewish religious worship in that country. He also compelled them to forsake the worship which they paid to their own God, and to adore those whom he took to be gods, and made them build temples and raise altars in every city and village, and offer swine upon them every day. He also commanded them not to circumcise their sons, and threatened to punish any that should be found to have transgressed this injunction. He also appointed overseers who should compel them to do what he commanded. And indeed, many Jews there were who complied with the king's commands, either voluntarily or out of fear that the penalty that was denounced. But the best men and those of the noblest souls did not regard him, but did pay a greater respect to the customs of their country than concern as to the punishment which he threatened to the disobedient. On which account, that every day they underwent great miseries and bitter torments, for they were whipped with rods, their bodies were torn to pieces, they were crucified while they were still alive and breathed, and they also strangled those women and their sons whom they had circumcised as the king had appointed, hanging their sons around their necks as they were on the crosses. And if there was any sacred book of the law found, it was destroyed, and those with whom they were found miserably perished also. That is coming, because Antiochus Epiphanes is a forerunner of the coming Antichrist. And it's not going to be any different. Those folks out there keeping Sunday are going to herald him as the great deliverer. They will call him the Messiah. You, however, if you hold fast to the religion of God in the Bible, they are going to call you heretics, and they are going to punish you to death. If they find you with a book of the law, the Torah, if they find you observing the Sabbath or the holy days, they will beat you and kill you and make a mockery of you. That's what's coming. Let's get into the Word of God. Daniel chapter 11. Verse 29. This guy's the forerunner to the Antichrist. These people are rising up all over the world to oppose the Jewish people, to oppose Judaism, and basically they are opposing your Bible. They're the people that don't want you to read anything prior to Matthew. Some of the weird messianics don't want you to read anything after Malachi. Well, it's true. It's true. You know, when you keep the Passover, you don't keep the Passover found in the four Gospels. You keep the Passover the way the Jewish people do it. Well, the Jewish people are good keeping Passover just fine, thank you, if your Bible stops at Malachi. But if your Bible it continues on with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you can't do it exactly that way. Because the Jewish Passover they keep comes from around the 400s, 500s, or 600s A.D. Your Passover comes from the first century. I know that because the beloved rabbi of this temple came and taught us the first century Jewish Seder. And it matches up with your Bible exactly. Oh, isn't that special? That's why we keep the Passover on two nights. Because when it was originally given in the law, it was kept on two nights. Hey, and if you got real ornery and uppity about it, you weren't here on the second night. It wasn't any arguing after the second day. Why? Because the death angel came at midnight on the 14th. Okay, so there's a big argument over whether Passover is supposed to be at the evening, the beginning of the 14th, or the evening, the end of the 14th. Well, let me tell you something. If you lived in that day, there wasn't an argument. Because when the death angel came at midnight on the 14th, you didn't have the blood on the door. You weren't. There wasn't going to be a Seder on the night of the 15th. Did you know something? They didn't keep a Seder on the night of the 15th year because they were marching out of Egypt at night. So you either keep the Passover on the 14th, or guess what? They buried you in Egypt. You didn't leave. Oh, wow. And this controversy rages all the time. I got friends in the last 2 years that have abandoned Passover on the 14th for Passover on the 15th. Talk about day late and a dollar short. Wow. But God told them to commemorate the night of the 15th forever. Because on it, you marched out of Egypt. So what we do is we follow the Bible. We keep what Jesus kept on the night of the 14th. And by the way, He kept it on the night of the 14th. Amen. Because He wasn't there to keep it on the night of the 15th, was He? Oh, wow, that's special. Funny how that lines up just that way. And then on the night of the 15th, we keep a night to be commemorated throughout our generations forever because we came out of Egypt. Amen. Because He died on the cross, we came out of Egypt. Praise God. So that's why we do it that way. It's all right there in the Bible. Now, let's go to Daniel. Chapter 11, verse 29. At the appointed time, He will invade the south again. But this time, the outcome will be different from what it was before. Ships of the western coastlands will oppose Him and He will lose heart. Then He will turn back and vent His fury against the Holy Covenant. He's going to vent His fury against the Holy Covenant. Daniel's writing this hundreds of years before Alexander the Great was even born. Amen? Daniel was a priest in the temple that was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. Alexander the Great fought Artaxerxes the Fourth. So this is hundreds of years before Alexander the Great's even born. And this guy right here is hundreds of years after that. Okay? So Daniel's writing around 550, 520 B.C., and this takes place in 167 B.C. See the difference there? It's almost 500 years, 400 something years difference between Daniel writing this and it actually occurring. But I read to you from Josephus it actually occurred. He will return and show favor to those who forsake the Holy Covenant. His armed forces will rise up and desecrate the temple fortress and abolish the daily sacrifice. Then they will set up the abomination that causes desolation. With flattery, He will corrupt those who have violated the covenant, but the people who know their God will firmly resist Him. Hallelujah! Are you a people that know your God? You see, in Thessalonians it says that even the very elect would be deceived if that was possible. That God is going to send strong delusion on them that know not the truth and don't love it right. And so where are you in this? Do you love the truth? Do you love the truth? Because if you don't love it, God the Father is going to send you delusion to believe the great lie. It's coming in your day the same as it came in that day. This celebration of Hanukkah is the celebration of what you're going to go through and whether you can stand it. It is a celebration of being filled with the Holy Ghost to the point of 8 days of the oil burning on a 1 day supply. How much do you got? Can you burn 8 days on 1 day? Can you go a whole week without being refreshed in the power and the presence of God? Because that's what it's going to take to love the truth and to stand strong for God, because this is going to be repeated. We need to learn how to get so on fire that we're taken before this happens. Come on, somebody. But the way to be so on fire for God that you're taken before it happens is to be willing to pour your life out on the ground to stand up for the truth. Because you see, once he knows you, he doesn't have to test you. Come on, somebody. Remember Abraham taking his son Isaac up on the altar and he said, "Kill not the boy or harm him because now I know you." He's got to know you. It's not that you got to know him, but he's got to know you. He's got to know where you stand. He's got to know where your heart is. Push come to shove, what's going to happen? Push come to shove, are you going to cave into Christmas? Look, we have folks come every year. We have folks leave every year. Why? The little round man's won bad, you know what? Come on. He's won bad, you know what? And I've seen a lot of them, man. He'll whoop them right down the ground, beat them down like a dog. They don't survive Christmas. Come on, we see it every year. Look, I've been doing this since 86. You know how many people I've seen come and go over the years? I've seen a lot of them come, and I've seen a lot of them go. Look, I was in the Worldwide Church of God, and I remember being in a congregation of 700 plus people. All of them living God's laws and commandments. I remember going to Feast of Tabernacles where we had 7,500 people in the hall. All of them keeping God's... And that wasn't the only feast site, by the way. That was one of a bunch of them. It wasn't even the biggest one in Florida. How's that? Where'd they go? Where'd they go? They all said they believed the truth. They all said they loved the truth. This same word being preached to you was preached to them, and they said they were all for it. When you get to track 8, I think it's 5 minutes after on track 8, that's when I'm done. They left. And do you know most of them are serving the round man with the red clothes. They're serving him. They went right back. Just like that. You've got to stand strong. You've got to make up your mind you will never again bow to the little round man with the red clothes on. You've got to make up your mind you will never again syncretize anything with the pure religion of Almighty God. You've got to make up your mind you will walk out the Sabbath and the holy days with zeal, with joy, with fun, and with sincerity of heart. Because the whole world is fixing to be plunged into an Antiochus Epiphanes who doesn't just rule Judea, but is going to rule the whole world. Do you know in countries that aren't Christian they keep Christmas? You know that, right? The little round man with the red suit reigns supreme over the whole world. You realize that, right? He's your death enemy. He is out to kill you. He is not your friend. He wants your blood poured on the ground after you've been tortured in agony. That's what he wants. Matthew. This is ancient history now. The fact that all of this took place is powerful proof in the Word of God. All the things written in the book of Daniel up to verse 36. Or something like that. Let's go to Matthew 24. Because Jesus talks about this is going to happen again. It wasn't just the once, it's going to happen again. Verse 12, Matthew 24, verse 12. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Don't you see this going on right now? Don't you see the love of many people growing cold? You don't pronounce his name the way I do. You're a heathen. You don't keep the Passover just exactly right. You're a heathen. Oh, you have worship music and not hymns. You're of the devil. I could go on and on and on. Do you know how many things divide people that say they keep and live the truth? It would blow your mind. And people look at each other who agree 99.99% as a heathen. Because you don't believe that last thousandth of a percent like I do. Man, death and destruction is fixing to rule this world. If we can't have love for people that think the way we do, live the way we do, worship the way we do, who are we going to love? Look at the divorce and remarriage in the church. Look at the families falling apart. If we can't love the folks that live in our own household, who are we going to love? He said the love of many will grow cold, but those who stand firm to... What did he say? The mark of my disciples is you got the correct pronunciation of my name? Did he say that the mark of my disciples are the people who keep my holy days on the right calendar? Did he say the mark of my disciples are the ones who use vinegar or wine or grape juice at Passover? Oh, I could go on. I've been through a lot of wars, and I have been through a lot of ridiculous stuff. This would all be funny if it weren't serious. Did he say the mark of those who are my disciples are the ones who faithfully follow Herbert W. Armstrong or Ellen G. White or whoever else? No. He said if you have love one for another. Now people say, well, the law of God is done away because of that. No, if you're not keeping the law, you're not even in this game. You're not living the holy days and the Sabbath. You're not even in this game. You're not in the game to even be discussed. But among those who are living right, do we have the love for each other? That's the mark of his disciples. We've got to keep our hearts soft. How do you do that? The oil of the Holy Spirit. And this celebration represents the oil burning 8 days. Abundance. Well of living water. That's where the love comes from. Romans 5:5, he says he pours his love out abroad into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So if you're walking in the oil, living in the oil of the Holy Spirit baptism, then you have the love. Amen? And this gospel of the kingdom of the world, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. Then the end will come. So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, we just read from Josephus how that was fulfilled by Antiochus Epiphanes. But Jesus is telling you, this letter was not written to his disciples. This speech was not to the people in Judea who stood in front of him when he gave this. This speech was written for you who live at the end of age, upon whom all of this is coming. He's telling you, you are going to see an abomination that makes desolate standing in the holy place, spoken of by Daniel. But we just read that it took place already. Ah, there's going to be another abomination that makes desolate. That means there's going to be another temple. Because it can't be an abomination that makes desolate unless it takes place exactly the way it took place in the past. The book of Thessalonians says that the Antichrist will sit on the mercy seat and proclaim himself to be God. But you can't sit where it don't exist. That means it has to exist for him to sit. It also talks about the taking away of the daily sacrifice, another place in Daniel, a little further in the book, and gives you a series of days. Now, I don't know how to calculate those days. I'm not even going to think of waste my time trying to go there. But I'm going to tell you this. You can't take away what don't exist. And there is no daily sacrifice going on in Israel right now. But you know what? There's some good old southern evangelists who are trying to raise red heifers and shipping them to Israel as fast as they can get them raised. And once they get the ashes of a red heifer, baby, it's rock and roll time. They have everything ready. They have everything ready. They have two menorahs. You realize that? They made one, didn't like it, made another one. They got two crowns for the high priest. They made one, didn't like it, they chased it and made another one. They keep them as spares. They don't throw them away. Things are getting ready in your lifetime to see all of the things prophesied. Are you ready? You see, that's the operative question it comes down to. When are we going to be ready? When are we going to be the people who can rightly divide the word of truth to stand firm and not compromise, not be syncretized with the love one for another, with the compassion to continue reaching out until we're, our hands are slapped away? I mean, there is a time to turn your back on folks. Typically, we do it well in advance of that. But there is a time to turn your back. When they keep slapping your hand away, it's time to leave them alone. But I mean, we're supposed to be extending and reaching out to these people in love. Why? Because we used to be deceived like they were. God had mercy on us, therefore we want to extend God's mercy to them. They don't like being woke up. Come on, somebody. Come on, some of y'all have been through this. They don't like being woke up. That red man's going to kill you. You crazy, man. No, I'm serious. Santa Claus is going to kill you. Don't be talking about him as Santa Claus now. Hey, come on, you faced all this with these people. Look, I come from a German household. There's a reason why, you know, the Christmas tree came from the Germans. You tell them you're not going to keep Christmas, Jack. You just opened up World War IV. and they're fighting it for real. I mean, you don't go into a German family and say, we're not keeping Christmas. That is not cool. That is not cool, man. Hanukkah bush don't cut you no slack in that household. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the roof of his house go down to take anything out of the house. Let no one in the field go back to get his cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath. If the Sabbath's done away, why would you care? If the Sabbath was done away, why would you care? All right, let's flip it around. If you're a Sunday keeper, you won't be fleeing. If you're a Sunday keeper, you won't be fleeing because you won't see the abomination it makes desolate as an abomination. You won't have a reason to flee because you'll be deceived and in the system. Oh, see, people keep wanting to do away with the Sabbath. Let me tell you something. You do away with God's Sabbath day, you took yourself out of the equation and put yourself back over in devil's land. I don't care how much you feel the Holy Ghost in church. I don't care how much ghost bumps you get. I don't care how you pray in tongues. You're taking yourself out of the equation. Now, when you're deceived, you're brought to somebody who knows, and they tell you, you bow up, walk away, you've got problems. You don't have issues anymore. You've got problems. And they're not solvable unless you come back to God. For then there will be great distress, unequal from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. This celebration of Hanukkah represents no less than the victory of God over Zeus. Hey, because you see, without getting too deep in this, in pagan mythology, you know, all these gods have different names in different countries, but it's the same pantheon of gods. Amen? Zeus represents the devil. Zeus represents the devil, Hasatan. And this represents God's total, unequivocal victory over the devil by whatever name he's called in whatever society or culture around this world. It also represents Yeshua's deliverance of you out of the hand of the Antichristos. Come on, somebody. I hope you felt that the way I felt that. It represents Yeshua's deliverance of you from the Antichristos. Because the people of God were delivered. Look, people tell me all the time that the rapture applies to the whole church, and if it doesn't, then it's not the rapture. And people tell me, well, obviously it can't be a rapture because a lot of Christians are going to be tortured. That's clear from the Bible. But if you go back and you look at the story of Antiochus Epiphanes, there was a holy people of God preserved from trouble. There was a holy people of God martyred for the sake of the Lord, and there was a holy people of God that were destroyed. And there was holy people of God who gave it up and converted to the dark side. It is the total. If you really want to, look, if you really want to know what the future holds, you go back and you study the past. Everything that Daniel wrote, everything that actually happened with Judas Maccabees and the Jewish people. Do you know there were some Sabbath keepers who refused to fight on the Sabbath? And so they found these people in caves and massacred them on the Sabbath because they refused to fight. See, you can get too extreme in anything. You look, nobody loves the Sabbath or defends it more than I do, but you know what? Those uncircumcised Philistines coming here, they're not walking out without getting everything we got. Come on. Hey, I'm like Daniel. I'm like David. I'm like Judas Maccabee. Those uncircumcised Philistines coming here, we're going to give them all we got, baby. Look, you can go in the history of the true religion. You see where certain churches laid down their lives like sheep to the slaughter and others fought. God honored them both. We're going to fight. God honored them both. We're going to fight. The way I look at it, the devil brings his minions in here. We're going to send them out. And then we may not win, but I know one thing. They're going to hurt so bad they'll wish they'd never come. South will rise again, baby. You know what it is. People say that it is rising again, even right now. That's another story. I'm not going there. Daniel 9. Oh, I get emails. I get a lot of weird stuff. And there's a lot of people saying right now that they're going to round us up and take our guns. And I just keep looking around at some of this stuff, and I'm thinking, you know, you obviously never lived in the South. That's right. That's all I can say. You obviously didn't live in the South, because most of the men in the U.S. Army are from the South. That's just not going to happen. They know their Constitution. They know it well. They've taken an oath to protect and defend it from all enemies, foreign and domestic. I tell you what, there'll be a Confederacy long before they start taking our weapons from the U.S. government. I can promise you that. I mean, you know, it's already going to happening. But it's prophesied in the last days. So anyway, Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. Speaking of the Antichrist, he will confirm a covenant with many for 1/7, in the middle of the 7, he will put an end to the sacrifice and offering. and on a wing he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. This is the abomination Yeshua is referring to, and it takes place. He gives it in chapter 9, well before you get to chapter 11. Look, this end right here can only happen at the end days. This abomination that makes desolate can only happen at the end days because it comes at the end of the seven. And he breaks the covenant in the middle of the seven. Antiochus did none of these things. The Antichrist is going to make a treaty with Israel to protect them. Why would Israel make a treaty with the Antichrist? Because the U.S. ain't here no more. Think about it. The U.S. is not the military power. The beast is the military power. And Israel is caught between the king of the north and the king of the south, just like old times. And the king of the south says, through its wicked Haman that rules Persia, we want to destroy Israel from being a nation. And they're saying it. They're saying it every day on the news. So what does Israel do? We don't have a U.S. They go to Europe and say, we need help. We're the last bastion of Western civilization in the face of this Muslim confederation. And he makes the treaty with them. But he breaks it halfway through. Now get this. The Temple Institute says it takes 3.5 years to rebuild the temple. Half of 7 is 3.5 years. They get the temple rebuilt and the Antichrist breaks his treaty with Israel, goes into the temple and sets himself up as God, just like it says in 2 Thessalonians. Wow. Wow. That's heavy stuff. That's heavy stuff when you think about the ramifications. It's the time of the end and it will compass the world with wickedness. You know, we watch the evil that's going on in our United States. Know for certain you're living in the last days. Because when the power of America's military might is broken, all of this is going to come together very, very fast. You know, they're working on breaking the economic power of the United States right now. You realize that, right? You realize that the old banking families of Europe are using this crisis. You see, I'm getting emails saying that they caused this crisis. They did not cause this crisis. Your federal government caused this crisis. Make no mistake about it. They forced banks to make loans to people who could not pay them back. And they caused these loans to be securitized, wrapped up into bonds, and sold all over the world. So now, when the interest rates bump up a notch and these people can't make their payments, the loans go bad and now the bonds are worthless. But they're held by every bank in the world as part of their capital. And as the capital shrinks, it means they've already loaned out too much money. They've already loaned out too much money, which means they can't loan anymore for sure. You follow me? So, the banking houses of Europe are saying, America can't be trusted to be the leading economic superpower because they let us down the garden path. They're saying capitalism is broken, but capitalism's not broken. It was government intervention that's broken. But they're saying this not because they want to get rid of capitalism, but because they want to get rid of American capitalism and American economic leadership. They're laying the groundwork right now to subvert this country from the leading economic superpower to a second-rate power. Don't you see it going on all around you in the newspaper every day? Then Europe will be the superpower. How about those Ruskies? Talking junk a couple months ago? Russia's back, baby! Well, let me tell you a little secret. $36 oil, Russia's not only not back, Russia's going into a dark place. Because it takes $55 a barrel for them to balance their budget. And we're $20 below that right now. They blew out Exxon, Shell, and BP from developing their oil fields. Their output is declining because it's old Soviet era stuff. And when they could have had the United States oil companies come in there and revitalize their oil industry and put them on the map, they got greedy and took the initial money and kicked us out. Now they're left holding the bag. See, $145 in oil, they got cocky and greedy. We don't need you anymore. Boom! boom, we're not sharing nothing. But now, $36 oil, they are beggars. So much for sending their only aircraft carrier to Venezuela and talking junk, huh? It's over. It's over. But look at here. If this economic crisis continues, and if the Obama administration goes through with its $1 trillion package, we're going into a real bad recession, and we might not come out for a decade the way the Japanese did, which will lower us and raise Europe all at the same time. You didn't get that. See, Europe for years has been making treaties all around the world. Oh, we want free trade. See, Europe collapsed the general agreement on tariffs and trade for the world because they don't want the U.S. in the system. They don't want a worldwide trade organization. See, all these things that our people are crying about, oh, the WTO is going to subvert the United States. No! The WTO is the United States! Look at your dollar bill. It says New World Order on it. The New World Order is the United States putting peace and prosperity around the world. What's coming is not the New World Order. What's coming is the Old World Order. Get us out of the picture and Europe takes back over control. See, everybody didn't get it. Where do you got kings? France, Germany, Netherlands, Belgium, England, Russia. You got kings in Europe. And they still hold power and control. Believe it or not. And now they're fixing to raise up their system. Do you know that 10 nations of the Western European Union control all the military affairs of the European Union? People don't know this. They don't know their history. Do you know that the ordinance in the European Union that makes the Western European 10 the control of the military was Ordinance 666? And they like it that way. Did you know that their emblem is a woman riding a beast? It's even on their money. Did you know that that statue is in front of the European Parliament building in Brussels, Belgium right now? A woman riding a beast? Did you know that their Parliament building is a replica of the Tower of Babel under construction? They're doing this on purpose. They're telegraphing to the world who and what these people are. And we're blind because we're looking for an Islamic Antichrist that ain't going to come. Let me tell you something. The Islamic world is going to form a confederation and they're going to attack us. But that doesn't make them the Antichrist. That just makes them the sons of Ishmael. That's all it makes them, the sons of Ishmael. Where it's really happening is Europe. They're the ones that are going to break our power. And once that happens, the rest of these events are going to happen very, very quickly. You know, America is Israel and Israel is Judah. The nation of America is the lost tribes, the northern kingdom, and the nation of Israel is the southern kingdom, Judah. And we better wake up for where we're at right now because the world is out to destroy us as well as them. The world wants us gone. You know why the world wants us gone? Because we protect these people right here. We are the ones who allow them to exist. We give them economic aid. We give them military aid. If it weren't for us, they wouldn't exist and the rest of the world knows it. And they're tired of them and the whole anti-Jewish world plot is about to come into being. You know, you read all this weird junk. Oh, the Jewish people control the world. The Jewish conspiracy. Blah, 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 blah. Bull. Bull. The world hates the Jewish people because they're God's people. We've got to stand with them, and we do. So they hate us too, not knowing who we really are. If they ever really found out who we were, you couldn't buy a drop of oil on a bet. There's so many clues coming into places. That ancient spirit has tried to destroy us since the time of Pharaoh, and now it is trying to subvert the entire plan of God and to kill as many of us along the way. The picture is clue. Anything that wants to attack and kill the Jewish people wants to attack and kill you. You be clear of that. And it hates you even worse because you are a Judaizer. Don't you understand from the time of the Holy Roman Empire that they held special antipathy and hatred towards you? You being a Christian. You being one who names the royal name of Christ and yet you live like a Jew. They hate your guts! You know why? Because that's where God is. That's where God is. He has sent His only begotten Son into the world. These people are wonderful Jewish friends and neighbors are being blinded to that fact until the time is ready for them. Make no mistake, all Israel shall be saved. None of them are going to perish. The problem is You know the truth, you're living the truth, and you're going to be tested to stand firm for the truth. If you don't stand firm for the truth, you're going in the great tribulation where the devil knows he can torture you out of it. If you can't live this way of life in peace and prosperity, if you can't live this way of life when you can live in your house without fear of marauding, if you can keep the holy days without fear of your group being busted up by axe-wielding mobs, then he knows good and well you're not going to be able to keep this way of life when the whole world turns upside down and everybody hates your guts and wants to kill you. Come on. He knows what he's doing. You've got to prove faithful. Daniel chapter 7. Watch Iran. Watch Germany. Watch Russia. The whole world is going to come against us because we back Israel. And they're going to come against you because you are living right. Speaking of the Antichrist, the ten horns are ten kings who will come from this kingdom. And after them another king will arise, different from the earlier ones. He will subdue three kings, and he will speak against the Most High and oppress his saints, and try to change the Moed and the Torah. You didn't get that. The Antichristos is going to change the Moed, the set times, the appointed times, and the law. Who did that? Who did that? John said there are many antichrists. The spirit of antichrist is already in the world and there are many antichrists. What's he talking about? The Roman emperors followed by the Holy Roman emperors of all six resurrections. There's one resurrection left to come. They all abolish the holy days. They forbid Christians from keeping the Jewish holy days on pain of death, and they always have. They forbid you from following the Torah on pain of death, and they always have. They call you a Judaizer before they put you to death. This has been going on from 300 A.D. From the time the Roman Empire converted to Christianity, it converted to Sunday, syncretized, secular Christianity, and the true Christians were forced to flee into the wilderness. We were persecuted along with the Jews, and we were persecuted apart from the Jews. They hated us as much, or if not more, than them. We've gone through everything that's going on in the past, and yet God has always preserved a remnant church on earth. You are the inheritors of that church. You are the inheritors of preserving the set times and following the law in the face of persecution, just like your Jewish brethren. Are you going to stand up? This feast of Hanukkah represents not just their time of standing up, but the time of standing up of all the holy people from the time of Constantine the Great until today. There's a reason why we give you the history of the true religion, so you can know that this has been going on. We're not freaks. This is not a cult. This is not some goofy thing I dreamt up in a garage someplace. This is the true Christianity Jesus Christ founded. It will never perish or die because it's founded on Him. He is the mighty rock of Gibraltar. His church is founded on, and we are the little stones who will never give in. Never give in. Who's trying to eliminate the Torah? Who wants to undo the holy days and the Sabbath? Who wants to eliminate the law of God in favor of the laws of men? It's the Roman system, the fourth beast of Daniel. Antiochus was the forerunner. He tried to destroy the Jewish people. He desecrated the holy temple. He tried to force the Jewish people to worship Satan. And every one of those who's been antichristos. Have you ever wondered why almost every Roman emperor's name adds up to 666? Huh? They always like to point to Nero. Nero was just one of many. Most every Roman emperor's name added up to 666 because they walk in the power and the spirit of Antichristos. Charlemagne the Great resurrected the Holy Roman Emperor. Charles V, Otto, all of these people resurrected the... You didn't get that. Y'all know your history very well. Do you know Charles V was a German emperor of the Holy Roman Empire? This Charles V was the same one that built the Spanish Armada and tried to destroy Brother Ephraim in Queen Elizabeth's time. They hate our guts. They always hate our guts. They've always been after us, the people of Israel and the people of God. Well, let me tell you a little secret. Some of the people of God get rescued, and we've got to make sure we're going to be them. some of the people of God go into the rescue. We've got to make sure we're them. You know the quickest, the surest, the safest way to know that you're going to make it. Walk holy and live right.
That's right.
Preach the gospel at every turn. You know, we read over and we didn't talk on it, where Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom of God will be preached as a witness to the world. That still remains to be done. Oh, it's been done multiple times over, but the end hasn't come, has it? The last great time this went out, people have forgotten it already. It's only been 20 years. Amazing how memories are so short. This gospel of the kingdom of God has to go out as a witness. You want to make sure you're in the rescue? Walk right and live right before Him. Keep His commandments. Know Him on that interpersonal basis. And let's get busy preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Let's get the books out. Let's get the messages out. Why? It has nothing to do with Hungry Hearts Ministries. It has to do with getting His gospel of the kingdom in people's hands so it can be a witness, so we can check out. Come on, somebody. I'm tired of this place, aren't you? Daniel chapter 12. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress that has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. Until then. Didn't say until now. Until then, because it's afar off. How do we know it hasn't happened yet? Because it hasn't happened yet. Antiochus had his little deal, but the Romans came in. The fourth beast wasn't even around in the time of Antiochus. There had not been six resurrections of the Roman Empire. Resurrections. You know, the Roman Empire is the beast that was killed. The beast that receives the head wound and dies, but is resurrected. There's seven resurrections of the Roman Empire. Y'all don't know them, do you? In the what's called the Byzantine Empire, Justinian resurrected the Roman Empire and got it back all over the territory. Then there was Charlemagne the Great. Called the Holy Roman Empire because it's blessed by the woman that rides the beast. Then there was Otto the Great. Again, elected. Y'all didn't know that the Holy Roman emperors were elected, right? There were electors through the realm. They met in Frankfurt, Germany to elect the Holy Roman Emperor. Y'all didn't know all this. Otto the Great, Charles the Fifth, and Napoleon. Napoleon. Snatched the crown out of the Pope's hand and put it on his own head because he didn't feel like the Pope was worthy to put it on his head. So you got number six, Hitler, the Third Reich. What do you think he was talking about? Why do you think the Catholic Church blessed Hitler? They blessed Hitler. Why do you think the Catholic Church took all the Nazis out of Germany and squirreled them away through rat lines in the Catholic Church to South America? It took the Jewish people generations to track half of those people down, and they all didn't get found. The one, Demjanjuk, who they pulled off an American car manufacturer line up in the Midwest somewhere, he was taken from Germany to South America and back up to the United States, all of it in the Catholic Church. See, people don't look at their history. Hitler raised the Third Reich and declared it would rule for 1,000 years. Mr. Armstrong thought he was the Antichrist. You know, if I lived back then, I would have thought the same thing. We had the Dust Bowl in America. Our power was broken. We were tore up. Yeah, when all that rose apart, I'd have thought the same thing. If Hitler made a left turn into England instead of a right turn into Europe, he'd have probably been the Antichrist. That's how close we got on that one. There remains one more resurrection, and one more only. And you're looking at it coming together in the European Union right now. Like I said, 10 kings give their power to the beast for 1 hour, and there are 10 nations in the Western European Union that control the entire military arm. They've got a rotating presidency, but there will be a crisis so great that these 10 nations will make one man supreme ruler of the European Union. You ever wonder what that crisis is? I'll tell you, it's called the devastation and destruction of the United States. That is the crisis that provokes them to get serious. That is the crisis that makes them stand up and be the superpower. It's our fall. And why do we fall? Because we have embraced syncretized, paganized Christianity. We worship foreign gods. We, the northern backslid tribes, are going back to apostasy, and God said He's going to whoop our tail for that. We have got to warn these people to turn back to Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, to keep His Sabbaths, to keep His holy days, to get that abominable stuff off of our tables and eat the food He told us to eat. We've got to learn to live the way God told us to live and celebrate the things God told us to celebrate and tell our neighbors what's going on, because the end is in our face. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. You see, there is a remnant church that stands up and does what they're supposed to do, and they will be delivered. You read it right there in black and white. You want to be one of those delivered, you got to live right and you got to preach the gospel. That's the two things that you got to do. And you got to love the brothers, because that's the mark. Well, you know, you love people by extending out to them. You love them by putting the truth in their hands in a gentle enough way they'll take it instead of just blowing you off. Look, I've made all the mistakes. I've made practically every mistake that can be made. You name one mistake that's going on in the movement called we call the Church of God right now, I've made that mistake in spades. And I haven't learned from all of them. Okay? I'm not brilliant. I don't learn from every mistake I make. I keep doing them for a long time sometimes till I find, okay, I'll stop. Too late now, you messed it all up. We've got to learn to reach out in love to people and give them the truth. But make no mistake, when they refuse it, doesn't mean we turn our backs on them until they slap us away. Everyone whose name is found written in the book will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. We are talking about the resurrection of the saints when Yeshua comes to rescue those living. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. We got to believe that Jesus is in the Father, and that we're in Him, and that we're at God. That's why we sing the Shema. It's important. We've got to believe that He wants to give you eternal life. Because that's what we just read about right there. The eternal life that comes from standing tall and doing what you're supposed to. Because Daniel chapter 12 is talking to us. Daniel chapter 11 was talking to them. You've got to want to shine like the stars forever and ever by turning many back to righteousness. You want to pass out the books. You want to pass out the tapes. You want to personally witness to people in a way that will make them want to do it. And you know what? Some are going to come, and the little round man's going to beat them down in November and December, and they're going to leave. It happens all the time. But we've got to not lose hope and give up when people come in and walk away. We've got to stand tall for God no matter what happens. No one's persecuting us right now. We've got to believe that He rose from the dead to give you an inheritance and a family that can never perish. And that can never fade away. And that He is going to bring you into the eternal kingdom that will never cease.